Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
Hey, you're back, we're back, let's have a show, shall we? Thanks, baby boomers, for listening in to Another Day Above Ground, the show made just for you, because we talk about stuff that we're interested in. And we do this every week. I do it with my two partners. Let me introduce them. First of all, from the Mile High City of Denver, Colorado, welcome the lovely Carolyn Strauss.
Hey, well, it is officially spring because I have these dead brown plant-looking things in front of my house, and today I noticed little green things sprouting out from inside of them. So they're going to come back to life. It's really cool. I don't have to do anything, and I have flowers in a couple months.
This is gonna wind up being a nature show, I think, because those little dead brown things, those are known as bushes, and the green things coming out, those are known as new sprouts. So, anyhow, here's somebody who knows all about agriculture. I'll tell you that, the Aristotle of comedy. Please welcome Tim Slagle.
Hey, it's election day in Chicago, and you're gonna have to have ID if you want to vote this year. They will accept driver's licenses, passports, or death certificates.
I got to tell you, I got no ID who to vote for. So. And do all the, we got what, a million new illegals. I wonder if they're going to be allowed to vote or you know.
Well, once they're told who to vote for, yeah.
Anyhow, here we are. We're in April. We have made it through all of winter. I think winter's pretty much abated by now, although it still may be hanging on because it was this crazy year anyhow. But we're here in April, and we're getting ready for a lot of things that April has to bring. For instance, taxes. You have to pay your taxes by the 15th. That's always a barrel of laughs. Here's a little tip for you. They say that you have to fill out the forms, but they don't tell you that you have to fill them out in English. So instead of using regular numbers, I use Roman numerals. Let them call me a liar. So... just a little fun.
Wow. How do you do like cents in Roman numerals? So it'd be like,
oh, I round up.
Point IVIII or something?
Yeah, I don't think there are any Roman decimals. That's
No, the Romans didn't have a lot of cents. And that's why. So. But it's the beginning of yet another season in the world, and that is, of course, baseball season. The boys are back in town, the boys of summer. They're going to entertain us and earn just more than any of us will ever make in 10 lifetimes, and we'll pay them to do it. So,
no girl baseball players? Baseball doesn't seem like a hard sport for girls.
Because of how they throw.
They had back in the Depression days, they had girl baseball in a league of their own, and you know, maybe
Madonna and Rosie O'Donnell were on that league, right?
Yeah,
sure. In the movie, yeah.
Oh, okay, right.
Although I think Rosie O'Donnell might have played second base, not the position. Second base.
Hey.
Now, come on.
I think
Rosie O'Donnell was probably the only one in that movie who could actually throw a baseball, and that includes Tom Hanks. So.
But opening day is like a renewal for a lot of people. They never miss an opening day game because it's the start of a new season, another grasp at frustration. And
it's a really good reason to actually support President Biden, I think, because they're not gonna have him throw out the first pitch. He kind of put the kibosh on that tradition of the president throwing out the first pitch at the Nationals game.
Did Trump ever do that? Did Trump do it during his presidency? Can he?
I don't know. Huh. I remember Obama did it at a White Sox game. I remember.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But the best one that I ever saw throw out a first pitch on opening day was Bill Murray for the Cubs. And he was on the thing, and he just wound up and threw the ball halfway in the stands between home and third. I mean, just threw it away. It was very funny.
You might be right, Carolyn. Trump might not have done it, but at least he could walk to the mound and find his way back.
Walking.
Find his way back.
Call that walking, sure.
But what did you go to baseball games as a kid? I used to love going to baseball games as a kid. What's your favorite memory of that?
Did you go to Comiskey or Wrigley, Dale?
I wasn't living here then. I was in Cleveland, so I went to see the Indians in Cleveland. And when I moved here from Cleveland, I just naturally assumed my my American League allegiance. That's why I root for the White Sox now.
I'm going to pull stature and rank. I grew up at Fenway. Come on. I grew up very close to Fenway Park. And when I was a kid, every once in a while we'd go. I don't remember the baseball, but I remember the hot dogs and the cotton candy. I thought it was so cool how they bring cotton candy to you. You didn't even have to go get it. I love anywhere where they bring me cotton candy. That's all it takes to make me happy. Oh.
You know,
you gotta love
be,
the circus, man.
Must be kind of hard to be a cotton candy vendor, though. Because that stuff evaporates. So it's like, so the vendor comes back, is how many did you sell? None. Where are they?
I never understood cotton candy. Just, you know, take a tablespoon of sugar. It's the same thing. But I never really understood. I love the hot dogs. In Cleveland, they came up with the official mustard for hot dogs. And it's still available online. And it's just a wonderful brown, they call it stadium mustard. And it's really, really, really good on a hot dog. But when I was growing up, the school system had a deal where if you got all A's on your report card, they gave you, I think it was 8 or 10 pairs of box seat tickets for the game. Which
wow, and if you got B's, you got 20.
But it was the first time my dad ever was in a box, and me too, first time we were ever in box seats. It was very cool.
That is actually really incredible. Is how many pairs of, so box seat one game, right? Just one game.
No, they'd give you a pair of tickets for, I think it was 8 games.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's all A's.
And that's all A's, which, you know, made my dad tell me to study.
No, it made your dad say, give me your homework. Let me check it. let me fix it before you hand that in.
We ain't taking a chance on a B+, pal. These are tickets.
Dad hanging outside the classroom
like
window, giving you, flashing you signals for the answers.
Yeah, you think the signals are at the base of what kind of thing to throw? No, it's what to do on your homework so that you can get signals.
Yeah, they knew I was never going to be an athlete, so this is as close as we got to the sport.
So how many times did you get that? Was it just 1 year? Or?
Oh, no, I had it. I was a smart kid. I had it probably all 4 years of high school. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
All right, since I know nothing about baseball, let me give you guys a little quiz about baseball. How many feet apart are the bases in a baseball diamond?
Professional or little league?
Yep, professional.
90.
Very good. How did you know that?
I'm an American.
Okay, little league.
Wow.
Little league, I think, is 65, I think.
Okay.
Well, you didn't
want
to do baseball
one.
As a topic. You said you really didn't know that much about it.
Wow. All right. What are baseballs made of?
Round things. I believe they have a cork center, and then it's yarn, and then they're covered with leather.
Holy Dale! Oh my God! You know everything.
Now, are you actually talking about the baseball or the head of the Health and Human Services?
There's more stitches on the baseball.
All right, let me give you
I remember,
one more.
Do you remember when you were a kid? I don't know if it was golf balls or baseballs that there was a childhood myth that you never open one up because the core is the do you know what I'm talking about? The core is made of this. There was golf balls. Yeah, you should never open one up because the very center of a golf ball is acid that will eat through anything.
Yeah.
So you want to, if you open one up, it could kill you. It could put a hole in your driveway. It's apparently, the acid could eat through anything except the inside of a golf ball.
No, I don't think it was that rare to open up a baseball because every neighborhood you found one with the cover off and half of the string gone, you know. So there was no danger there in opening a baseball.
Okay, how long was the world's longest baseball game? It doesn't necessarily have to be in the pro leagues.
Oh, so it's a minor league game.
Well, those people in Japan, they'll play forever. What else they got to
do? No. It was a minor league game. It was a AAA international league, but I think they were both from the U.S. AAA.
I'd have to go with 78 innings.
I don't know. No, way less. 33 innings, 8 hours and 25 minutes of playing time. It was the Pawtucket Red Sox and the Rochester Red Wings.
Why would anybody even write that down as something to remember? I mean, why is that anywhere in print?
Well, I guess it's important if you live in Pawtucket or Rochester. It's the only thing.
Where is Pawtucket? I don't even know.
I don't know. I didn't look that up.
Probably next to Ma Tuckett, you know. the whole Tuckett family.
Not much going on in Rochester since iPhone started putting cameras on them.
Why? What was happening in Rochester?
Kodak.
Kodak was the
big industry that kept Rochester alive.
How many baseball games in a season?
187.
Close, 162.
Yeah. 162, something like that.
Very close.
Seems like 187, though. Is that the regular season or with the series, too?
That is a great question. I don't know. You know, you're not supposed to ask follow-up questions for somebody who didn't want to do baseball as a topic.
Okay, well.
It's not fair.
Well, no, but I could be right. And my guess is that's just the regular season because you don't know how long the playoffs are going to last. Because it's best four out of seven, so there's no fixed number for the playoffs. So it could be 23 games. So I could be right.
How long was the fastest recorded major league game ever?
That was international. That would have been the Hiroshima Hitters against. The Nagasaki Numbnucks. It lasted about 5 seconds.
The first inning, game called.
Nope. It was a game between the Giants, New York Giants, and the Philadelphia Phillies. The Phillies lost 6. The Giants won 6-1, beat the Phillies. And it happened on September 28th, 1919. How long was that game?
Hour and a half.
51 minutes.
Well,
how do
was
you
only
do
off by half.
That's right. You were really close, Dale.
Okay. There's a record for, you know, you get hit by a pitch, you get to take a base. Who got hit in the face with the most balls? Rock Hudson. Rock Hudson, yeah. Liberace.
Went there together, and that is a little disturbing that we've all been hanging out for a little too long.
So was there a game going on when the disco demolition happened, Dale? Do you
know? Oh yeah. I believe
It was a doubleheader, wasn't it?
It was a doubleheader. It was between games of the doubleheader, and they had to forfeit the second game because the field got tore up after they blew up all the records and the fans all charged on the field.
That game didn't even start?
The second game never started. No, this was took place between the two games.
For those of you not in Chicago or Detroit that don't know the story, which would probably be Carolyn, do you know what we're talking about?
No idea.
Local radio station brought a bunch of disco records onto White Sox field and blew them up in between the two games of a doubleheader. And the rock and roll radio fans kind of got a little out of hand.
They went
after
crazy and jumped on the field and started
because they were mad.
No, it was rebelling against disco.
And I wasn't at that game, but I was at the game in Cleveland, Ohio, watching my Indians for Nickel Beer Night. I'll never forget that. So, I don't
Neither
remember
the,
much about it.
Neither will the
Nickel
Indians.
Beer Night.
Everybody was Chief Wahoo.
And it was back in the 70s, so a nickel still meant something. But, you know, for a buck and a half, you're gone.
Oh my god, gone. You're on a stretcher on the way to the hot bucket.
That's
half.
What I mean.
How big were the nickel beers?
They were like, you know, 8 ounce cups.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's really, if you want 12 ounces, that's actually 7.5 cents.
But but it was a loss leader to get people to pay to come into the park, and they did, and then they crawled home.
All right, back to something we talked about before. Who was the first president to throw out the ceremonial first pitch, and in what year?
I believe it was Warren G. Harding. It would have been in the 18-somethings.
Wow, you're so close. It was William Howard Taft in 1910. But you were really close, Taft.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1910. Wow, there you go. So it's over 100 years old, and that's why we still go today. But, it's changed a lot. I mean, first of all, when you go to a ballpark today, there's netting all the way around so people can't get hit by foul balls because then, you know, they weren't watching the game and knew when to duck. So I never had any mercy for those people that got hit. You just watch the game.
Yeah, but, you know, it kind of takes away some of the fun. I mean, what fun is it for a boy to go to a ballpark without his mitt? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's the only sport where you get to keep a souvenir if it gets hit into the stands. So it's that doesn't happen.
It should be that way everywhere, you know?
Sure, like football, like MMA fighting. Sure.
If you get hit with a punch, you can't take it with you though. It's not okay.
Well, I'm thinking teeth.
Oh, yeah, well. Hey, and then if you put somebody else's teeth under your pillow, does the tooth fairy still visit you?
Yes, but leaves you foreign money.
Yeah, it turns you into the FBI. this kid's got too many teeth. Something's going. something pretty ugly's going on. I'm just a fairy. I don't want to deal with it. Yeah. You guys do the investigation.
And the most famous player that I ever met, I think, Bill Veeck, when he owned the White Sox, this was back in the 50s, at one time, and the guy's name escapes me, which is a shame, but at one time he put a midget up to bat because they couldn't throw a strike that way. And so he put the midget up to get to first base. And I worked with the midget. He was a speaker at a thing that I did.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay, now, I have a question here about that. I'm guessing that's against the rules now.
It is, yes.
So isn't that discrimination against a disabled minority?
Exactly.
I mean,
it
seems
to
me
dwarf rights. You know,
it's yeah. It seems to me. It seems to me that would be a great job for someone who.
I think what they made illegal was he just brought him in for one game.
And well, why would you just bring him in for one game? Make him the designated hitter.
I would. You know, he'd always be on base, but it would take him 20 minutes to run down to first. So you'd have to take him out of the game, put a real runner on first.
How cute would it be?
There's nothing like cute baseball. I'll tell you that.
I was a jerk when I was younger, and I was playing a club in Seattle where the upstairs, it was by Mariners Stadium or whatever they called it, and upstairs was a bar where all the ball players would go after the game. That's it was like their hangout mm-hmm. bar. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to one guy. He goes, "Hey, you were pretty funny." I go, "Oh, thanks." And I don't even remember who it was, but he extends his hand. I'm going to make up a name, and he goes, "Bill Smith." I go, "Huh? Hey, Bill." Bill Smith. Yeah, hi, Bill. I play ball. I go, nice to have a hobby. And he goes, no, ball. I'm a baseball player. I go, oh, with the Mariners. He goes, yeah. I go, sorry, the fans union hasn't given me my back to work order yet. He just looked so disappointed, and it was for me. It was delightful, but as a jerk, I should have gotten his autograph. You know, for all I know, he could have. You know, I can't even remember his name, but he might actually be somebody. Might have hired me. Might have hired me to do a gig at one of his private events. You know, what an idiot I was.
Switching sports for just a second, back when LeBron James was with Cleveland, they were out playing the Lakers, and I happened to be out there at the time, and a friend of mine was the assistant coach for the Lakers, so he set us up with some tickets and passes into the grown-up people's lounge in there. So we walked in there before the game, and who's sitting there puffing on a cigarette but Jack Nicholson?
Wow.
Oh, hello, Mr.
Cool.
Nicholson. How you doing?
Hey, I met a very famous baseball player. You guys will know who this is. Carl Yastrzemski.
Oh, yeah.
He's a Red Sox player. His kid went to summer camp when I was a camp counselor.
Wow.
And his kid, yeah, was like one of the kids that I got to counsel or to.
Must have been a pretty fancy camp.
It was a nice camp. It was up in New Hampshire on Lake Winnipesaukee, one of those. Yeah. Yeah. It was nice. I was a camp counselor. That's where I learned how to whistle, like do the two-finger really loud whistle. I know how to do that, and it helped me a lot when I lived in New York City to get taxi
prove
cabs.
It.
Yeah.
No, it's going to hurt you guys.
Just turn to the side so we can see the volume. We won't get the whole blast. Go ahead.
That was a jerk. Go ahead. You didn't hear it?
Oh, we couldn't hear it. No.
No.
You're kidding.
No, you'll have to do it into the microphone. No, do it into the microphone. We can't hear a thing.
Oh my gosh!
Know what it is? There's a limiter. It'll probably show up. It'll probably show up on the tape.
Sorry,
but it probably we can't
That's
hear
so
it over.
Funny though,
Skype.
Because I'm visiting Patty. I'm visiting my mom, and in the other room, she just went, "What is that?" Sorry, Mom. It's me. But it was really helpful to know how to do that with kids to get their attention, and then in New York City to get taxicabs. And then when I would want people's attention, when I was doing fashion shows, I'd do that once during a fashion show too to get people's attention. That was fun too. No other fashion show commentator ever used that whistle to get people's attention.
Wow.
Yet another skill that we weren't aware of that Carolyn can do with her mouth. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Two fingers in her mouth. That's
that was four fingers.
Oh.
I can't do it with fingers.
Excuse me.
Hey. Come on. Hey.
Oh. Well, you know where all this is taking us. It's taken us right into game time, my friends, because so far you've wasted about 25 minutes with us. What's another five, huh? Because we have no more baseball questions for you. But at this point in the show, every week, what we do like to do is to play a little game called Boom Again. And it's a board game that you can purchase, and it has all questions for baby boomers. And we thought it was such a cool game that we worked out a deal with them. And if you can answer the three questions from the game that we're going to ask you, you'll win a free game. And you're saying right now, well, where do I send those answers? Carolyn, where would they deposit their answers?
Email the answers to us at anotherdayabovegroundshow@gmail.com. Put the answers in, put the week that you listen to it, put the three answers in, and if you're right, we'll send you a game.
All righty. Well, these are the questions we had last week. Let me give you the answers in case you're keeping score at home. First of all, what were the main uniform colors for each of these scouts? The Brownies, the Girl Scouts, the Cub Scouts, and the Boy Scouts.
I know Brownies and Girl Scouts because I was both.
Well, Brownies kind of gives it away, you know.
Yeah, it was brown. Girl Scouts was green with dark green with a little bit of gold.
Cub Scouts was blue, I remember, and I was a Cub Scout. And the Boy Scouts were kind of like a greenish khaki kind of color.
Olive.
That's the one. Okay, beginning in the boom era, what holiday became associated with the Jerry Lewis telethon?
Labor Day,
absolutely. Every Labor Day, you wasted 3 days. I was on that show. I was on the Jerry Lewis Labor Day telethon. My bit was on it live in Las Vegas at about 3 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, the only people that saw me were insomniacs and crack addicts, but it was kind of an interesting
thing. And Jerry Lewis's kid, because he always goes on about that time too.
Yeah. Well, actually, Jerry was off when I got introduced. I got introduced by Norm Crosby. Jerry was napping.
You know, that's what time Gary Lewis comes on too. About the time Jerry goes for a nap, because he's tired of him asking for work.
And our third question last week: in one classic Alka-Seltzer ad, an Italian wife serves up a great meal. What does her husband say that? Why does her husband say that he needs an Alka-Seltzer?
That's a spicy meatball.
It's a spicy meatball. Well, you could never do that commercial today, unfortunately. So, you know, because people have what values.
I'm not sure if that question's correct. I'll have to Google it to look for sure. But I don't think it's his wife that cooks the meatball. I think what it actually is, it's one of those things where it's a guy auditioning for a voiceover. And and it's like, that's a spicy meatball. That's a spicy meatball. It's like, could you do a little more Italian? That's a spicy meatball. No, a little more Italian. Oh, mamma mia, that's a spicy meatball.
Here, put a little sauce on your T-shirt. Do it again. All right, kids, grab your pencils, jot down these questions, and send us the answers, because then you could win a game. Here's our three questions for this week. Fill in the blank on this advertising classic. Is it live or is it blank? Fill in that blank. Question number two, name the character actor who never left home without his American Express traveler's checks, even when he was on the streets of San Francisco. And our third question, I love this. Thanks to Rolling Stone magazine, journalist Hunter S. Thompson, my favorite writer, launched a new style of reporting. What was it called? So if you know the answers to those three questions, please send them to us at what address again, Carolyn?
At anotherdayabovegroundshow@gmail.com. And if you don't want to wait for us to send you a game, you can buy your own. You can go to boomagain.com. You can purchase a game. And because of our partnership with them, on the checkout page, it'll say promo code. Type in 10ADAG, 10ADAG, courtesy of Another Day Above Ground, and you will get 10% off your game.
And there you go. You can't beat that with a stick. And then again, why would you? So that wraps it up, my friends, for another week. Carolyn, final words for our listener?
I just hope you go out and enjoy today, because it's going to be a beautiful day somewhere.
Okay, so for all you folks listening from somewhere, you take that to mind. Tim, final words.
Hey, just go to timslagle.com. Find out more about the Tim Slagle World Tour.
All right, and go to daleirvin.com. Sign up for the Friday Funnies. They're free and they're funny and in your email every Friday. Until then, we hope to see you next week. But right now, go out and have a wonderful day, because today is another day above ground.
And that's it for another day above ground. For Dale, Tim, and Carolyn, I'm Farad Muhammad. Thanks for listening.